Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
So good, so kind, so merciful, so just, so pure.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Before we take a look at the readings for today, I really would encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. You can get a free booklet of mine by going there, but you can also see the other resources that are available to you. Just go to renewalministries.net/FFJ, and you can get a free booklet that way. But you can also see other resources that I have to offer. I'd encourage you to do that. You can also, as you'll hear at the end of the program, you can also call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789 for my free booklet. So either the 1-800 number, but if you go on the website, I think you'll get more information there as well. Let's take a look at the first reading for the Mass today, Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and then 8 to 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, remembering you in our prayers, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith and labor of love and endurance in hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father, knowing, brothers and sisters loved by God, how you were chosen. For our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. You know what sort of people we were among you for your sake. In every place, your faith in God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to await his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath. Paul is developing here how grateful he is to God, that God came and it didn't come by our power or our words or whatever. It came by God and through the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, do you live in your relationship with God? Do you live in the reality that God is right here in me, through me, with me, for me? Do you live in the presence of God? And you could say, well, no, I don't live in the presence of God. I think about him, I remember him, but I don't live in his presence. You know you can. I don't mean that every split second you know that you are in the presence of God, although God could grant you that grace. But the important thing is that you, as I've said so often, that you give yourself to God every day. And if you can, if you're taking on a new project and a new work in a given day, you move from cleaning the bathroom to cooking the dinner, something like that, again, just offer it to God. Or you go from committee meetings to other projects that you need to work on, whatever the case may be, every time you change, just say, Lord, I offer this time to you. Will you lead me? Will you show me the way to go? It's that attentiveness that then makes you very attentive to something happening around you that you say, aha, God is here. God is present. God sees, God knows. He knows everything, brothers and sisters. He knows your motivation. He knows your mixed motives. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your pain. He knows your grief. He knows your fear. He knows your deep disappointments. He knows your losses. He knows your anger at yourself sometimes. He knows it all. He knows when you fight the battle against sin and lose. He knows it. And he knows it when you win. Knows it even better than you. Trust him. Just like Augustine did. Eventually you come to the place where you put your trust in the only one who can make a difference. Psalm reading for today is Psalm 149. The Lord takes delight in his people, and he does. The Lord loves his people. He adorns the lowly with victory. He loves us. But brothers and sisters, we've got to decide that we are part of his people, that we belong to him, that I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. I want to glorify God in my body. I want to glorify him in my mind and my spirit. That's what God's looking for. As the Lord more and more takes delight in us, as he sees us seeking to follow him, even if we fail in a given project or event, he knows, he sees when we stumble, he sees when we rise up, he sees when we fail, he sees when we succeed. He sees when we're almost despairing, and he sees when our hope is growing stronger. He sees it all. Put your trust in him. And the gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 13 to 22. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples. So he's speaking to the large crowds, to everybody, but he's also speaking to his disciples. And so we have to ask ourselves, into what category do we fall? And if we're in the category of the crowd, what are we going to do to become a disciple? And if we're in the crowd of the disciples, what are we doing to grow closer to the Lord? Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter." So these are very, very strong words. Very strong words. And he's speaking them particularly to the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of God's people. And he's having great trouble with them because they're trying to obey the letter of the law. And on that, they're growing in pride and arrogance and looking down at everybody else because they are the keepers of the law, every jot and tittle of the law. But is there kindness? Is there compassion? Is there mercy? No. And that's why Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourselves." What does he mean there? You make him a child of Gehenna. You make him a child of hell. Because you make his God the absolute adherence to every jot and tittle of the law, every simple detail, every single detail. And so people get focused on my record. Am I keeping the law? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Yes, yes, yes. Check off, and I grow in pride. That's how you can become a child of hell. Because you're not focused on the right thing. You're a hypocrite. You're not worshiping God because you love him. You're acting like you're worshiping God or teaching about God so that others are going to think you're wonderful. Do you hear the difference? Where are you? We all can be hypocrites in moments of our lives. We can. Repent quickly. But do you live a life of hypocrisy is my question today. God wants to save you. God wants to free you from what are really chains and heavy burdens. Hypocrisy leads to death. It doesn't lead to freedom. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourselves. Look at yourself. Don't point the finger at anybody else. Look at yourself. Does that definition there fit you in any way? I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm saying so you will recognize where you are and see the freedom and the love that God wants to give you. Woe to you, blind guides, who say if one swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated. There were all these rules and regulations that came down to such small things, but you had to obey every one. Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that made the gold sacred? You say if one swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated. It was one of the rules. You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that made the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it. Ask yourself, who's the God of my life? Is it my reputation? Is it my obedience to the commandments that looks down on everybody else because they're not good and holy like I am? Oh, we'd never say it that way, but ultimately that's what it comes to. Are we living that kind of hypocrisy? We do all things on the outside that look so lovely. And as Jesus says, but inside we're filled with dead men's bones. Brothers and sisters, this is not just an optional exercise, examination of conscience that I might do if I really want to be holy, or maybe someday on a retreat. I would say, do it today. Do it today. Look at the Ten Commandments in the scripture. Ask for God's help. Otherwise, Satan will get in there and tell you you're worse than you really are. Or pride can get in there and tell you you're just so much better than you are. And we want the truth because the truth will set you free. And it does. So you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, here are the commandments. I'm going to take them one by one. Will you show me where I'm living in the truth? Will you show me where I'm being a hypocrite? And don't be afraid of that. Because seeing the truth is a step into the light of God, and God will gladly forgive. But we need to acknowledge it. So we see for ourselves as well. God already knows it, but we need to see, this is my Achilles heel. This is my weak spot. And if we just offer it to God and say, Lord, help me. Go through the Ten Commandments. Jot down those things where you know you have trouble. And then ask God to enter into your life and lead you to freedom. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.